In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. To my left is whom?
Brett Weldy.
Bryce Armstrong.
Andrew McKinley.
It's been a long, hot minute since we've been together.
Yeah, we're all sick and...
I don't even remember
well,
what we're talking about.
You liar.
I do. It's saved in my...
You guys both edited it yesterday. I got notifications.
Yes. Look at the show notes.
It's very good.
Show notes.
So, tell us how we're all doing, Bert.
Bert.
I feel silly with everybody.
That's all right.
That's okay.
Find the joy.
We just got back from a vacation. I spent a little bit of extra time teaching at our church due to illness, so it's been a crazy couple of weeks.
Other people having illness, not
yeah,
you.
Not me.
Sick with the spirit.
I got sick on the list.
I got slain with the work.
Bradley Armstrong. Bryce.
Bradley's my father, in case anyone is wondering.
And they're related.
We are related.
They're practically the same person.
One's just taller than the other and has facial hair.
Ugh. We're not going to tell you which is which.
I'm definitely taller than my father. Anyway, I'm still recovering. I had COVID again. That was a nonsense.
One of those nonsenses.
Yeah, it was a nonsense. No, it was awful. The second time was worse than the first time. And I still am not fully back to normal. It's kind of poopy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Drew?
I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm doing all right. I'm tired. Right after the Christmas rush is over, we go right into inventory at work. So I'm worn out again. But, I mean, hey, we got all done with, and now it's kind of, it might be chill for a couple months, so.
You're done with inventory now?
Like, tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
So I got to be there at 6.
Ew.
Yeah, a little bit ill. It's not ill when we meet for Bible study at 6, but when I got to be at work at
right.
6.
Right. It's very different.
Ew.
True.
Dude, I did that right. For like 3 years. I had to be at work at 6.
Why?
That is ew.
Brandon, how are you?
Yeah, Brandon.
I'm not too bad. It's been, we've dealt with a lot of sickness in our house, too. Not COVID, but like.
Kids.
Yeah. Kids getting sick. I was
stinking
getting sick.
Kids.
Food poisoning. All that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't know. Food poisoning.
It's been so long since we've met. I forgot about you got food poisoning.
Medium rare chicken.
Three times. It was like two or three times in a row.
You got to stop eating bad things.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're a vegetarian again.
Medium rare is that way to eat chicken.
You like that raw chicken?
Dude, we had somebody over and we made three different meals. We made a eggplant parmesan, a regular like parmesan and whatever, like chicken parmesan, and then one that was dairy free.
Oh my gosh!
I was like,
dude, yeah, you had us over and you made like your own special. This was like right after you guys had food poisoning.
Yeah,
you're like you had your own special like cauliflower or something, and then you made us like chicken or something.
Yeah,
well, whatever it was delicious. I mean, you didn't make it, you didn't do it. It was your wife.
Sounds like you're playing roulette with this food illness now. Three dishes want to play a game.
Which one are you going to get? The good stuff?
Mm.
One of these will send you to the bathroom for 3 hours.
14 hours.
Oh, poor guy.
It's terrible.
That's rough.
Anyways, let's get on to not our topic.
No.
Our fun topic.
Oh, boy. The surprise.
Yeah, it's not a surprise this time. I did my research because last.
No, it's a surprise to us, though.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise to you.
Yeah.
Always three quarter rain wreck for last time.
And it surprises.
Oh, gosh.
But I looked up 40 of the worst newspaper headlines.
40?
Yeah, I'm not going to do all.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Thank you, facepalm at the stupidity. Number one.
Bring it.
Homicide victims rarely talk to the police. These are real.
Let me guess. California.
I have no idea. It doesn't say the location because it's pretty blurry.
That's probably good. Keep us to protect the stereotype.
This is number three. I'm not going to do them all in order. Just
some of them are bad.
Check that out.
Breathing oxygen linked to staying alive.
That's like a COVID thing. You need oxygen in the hospital. Somebody wrote it like, oh, it makes perfect sense to me.
You know, some haters out there like, that's how they get you.
Yeah. That's a scam. You don't even need oxygen. Actually, the air is mostly nitrogen.
Statistics show that teen pregnancy drops off significantly after 25.
What?
This is from 1999.
What?
Yeah. This was good, too. Marijuana issue sent to joint committee.
That's not going to be on purpose.
There's no way that's not staged. Come on.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Come on.
If it were there, would you not take a swing at that?
Oh, I mean, why not?
If someone lobbed that slow pitch at you, you got it to it.
Yeah. I know a guy that writes headlines. I should tell him to mess him up.
Please do it.
I should.
Fake news.
Your brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it federal agents raid gun shop and find?
No. Where's this all from?
Probably the Sun.
The Globe.
No. Well, those are both newspapers.
Yeah. Hey, this one's the Daily Sun.
Wasn't the Sun like the good newspaper there. From Newsies?
I don't. I think it's a UK's newspaper.
A nuclear explosion would be a disaster.
Oh my gosh,
Trish.
Oh my gosh.
I'm an encyclopedia.
Was it, this one says, think of a headline, 56 point bold headline.
They forgot to change it. Think of a headline.
One arm man applauds the kindness.
That's a knee slapper.
Oh my gosh.
These are great. Rooms with broken air conditioners are hot.
What?
Oh, woman missing since she got lost.
I love just thinking about like what made them think this was a good idea.
I was wondering, like, where were you?
Well, it's probably like 4 a.m. and they're like, we need something. It needs to print in an hour.
Most earthquake damage is caused by shaking.
Wait, most? What's the risk caused by
looting?
See, I thought looting. I thought it was
looting.
Quaking? I thought it was the quaking that did it.
I thought it was the earth.
Oh.
What? This one says, homeless survive winter, colon, now what?
Harsh. Ouch. That's unkind.
No, they really survive the summer.
Actually, I think spring is next, but.
Who needs to survive spring?
Yeah.
Do you have trouble with spring?
Unless you have.
Yeah, I have allergies. Yeah, every spring is a nightmare for me.
That's the title of your new metal album.
Every spring is a nightmare.
Every spring is a nightmare. Edit.
No, I'm leaving that.
Please, man.
Okay. I'm leaving that.
You should leave a couple edits in just so people know.
I hurt my throat.
I didn't do it properly.
Yeah, clearly.
This fits with the metal part. Students cook and serve grandparents.
That's unfortunate.
How many are you going to read?
I'm on 35.
Oh,
I haven't read all of them. Scientists to kill ducks to see why they're dying.
Oh my gosh. Wait, why don't they just grab a dead one?
Miracle cure kills fifth patient.
That's not right.
Whoops. That's not right. Let's go. Oh,
that's just murder with extra steps.
Number 40, the last one.
Number 40.
From the Evening Standard.
From the what?
The Evening Standard.
Oh, we know what this one's from.
So this is from a newspaper.
Back when they did them in the evening.
Exactly.
Oh.
Man found dead in graveyard. A And that's a wrap.
What a great time that was.
That one wasn't that bad.
That was nowhere near as bad as
no
a couple of them have been.
Oh,
I'm glad that you researched this one.
I did too. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and actually look for something. Because I just pulled this out of my butt. To the real topic of the night, which is our continuation of being holy. We're going to talk about a rule of life, which is probably new to all 10 of our listeners, at least.
It's true. All 10 of our listeners.
Or something. Because it's more based off in the Benedictine, like Benedictine, was that how you'd say it?
Benedictine?
Like that kind of era.
He's the word nerd.
Yeah. So saints, and stuff like that.
Mix them together. Word.
Word.
Go home.
I think someone's parked behind.
I am. That's true. You're stuck.
But so it says, this is from James Clear from Atomic Habits. It says, a slight change in your daily habits can guide your life to a very different destination, which is true. If you take a plane and you just move it maybe a little, like 80 degrees or even 8 degrees.
One degree.
Yeah, it'll end up in a different location.
Yep.
And that's what we can do with our life, and especially our life with Christ. And key scripture, Bretto.
John 15:1-8. This is Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because he can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and with my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and provide and prove to be my disciples.
Mm. Mm. Bryce.
Margaret Gunther.
Gunther.
Is that how we decided we were going to say her name?
The pig Gunther. From Sing.
Yeah, the pig from Sing, exactly.
Gunther.
Margaret Gunther, wife, mother, and angelic priest. And Anglican.
Angelic.
I can't read.
Edit.
I made it bold and big.
Yeah, I know. I can't read. It's fine.
Okay.
She said, a good rule can set us free to be our true and best selves. It is a working document, a kind of spiritual budget, not carved in stone, but subject to a regular review and revision. It should support us, but never constrict us.
I know we've all been kind of doing, at least trying to like set rules of life.
Mm-hmm.
And how has that been going?
It was great until I got COVID.
Right.
Yeah, that knocked me out and I have not gotten back on, which has been, I mean, if I'm just being honest, I have not gotten back on it. Because I'm just trying to survive right now.
Yes.
Which is kind of poopy.
No.
I've said poopy twice in this.
Yeah.
I got a newborn. I talk about poopy a lot.
We all talk that way.
We talk.
No, I think it's been tough for me too, like with sickness and stuff. As it throws a loop, you start getting into a rhythm and then it gets ruined. And then it's like something happens and then I have a hard time readjusting.
Right.
You know, but I will say it's like, it's life-giving either way in any kind of situation.
Yeah, I will say that it has been beneficial to have the prayer time app that we're all on. That has kept me the most consistent when I have been conscious. That's one thing that I've been able to stick to.
Yeah.
The other things just aren't back yet.
Yeah. What about you, Brito?
Well, I have been a rule of life or a goal setter for a while, so I've learned to set things that I can hit.
Yep.
So I'm doing okay.
Set realistic goals.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, right.
Proud of you.
Well, you know, if you're not doing much, it sure looks like a lot.
Make sure it looks like a lot.
Yeah. Except
carry a clipboard.
That's right. No,
that's cute.
I've pared down my rule of life to just very manageable steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I have fortunately not been sick or had kids that were sick. So I was very fortunate in that way. Mm. So I've been able to be in a good groove. Which has been good.
That's what it's about.
That's awesome.
Too. This is set goals that are reachable,
right?
Manageable.
Exactly.
Instead of overshooting and saying, I'm going to fast for 24 hours straight and pray for 17 hours straight.
Don't do a full Icarus.
Yes. Don't become a monk.
Home.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Andrew?
I'll tell you what. The app has been helpful.
Yep.
for reminders. Being an ADD kid makes it difficult to do that. I wish that I didn't already have like a knee-jerk reaction to like ignore reminders on my phone. That makes it hard again. But it does still help. And that's the thing to remember is that even if you're not like good at a new practice yet, it's good to continue doing it anyway. Don't feel like when you've failed once, it's something that you failed at it completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, I fall into that category a lot. And I'm like, I'm going to try something new. Oh, I missed it once. I guess I'm not good at that. And
yeah. Like, I'm done. Yeah. I fall into that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you miss it once, it's done.
And so by God's grace, I've not done that with this thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Fortunately, me as well.
Yeah. It's actually going better. So it's not every time. I don't hit it all the time. Sometimes I like swipe it away with my thumb. I don't remember that it happened.
Yeah, me too. But
other times I catch it and I'm like, oh yeah, and I got time.
Me too. It happens at the same time as my water reminder, which that just ticks me off at this point because I don't want to drink water. And so I'm already swiping and I forget that they go off at the same time because ADHD.
Hydrating, so, absolute scam.
Yeah, what a joke. What a joke.
That's how big water gets you. I thought you had
Nestle.
Rabies.
Fear of water.
That's true. Funny enough, Nestle is still like a terrifying company.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
We don't have to get into that.
Let's not.
Because I figure that out now too.
Oh gosh, they're scared me.
Yeah, what I find interesting, I think about setting a rule of life and talking about the prayer app that we're all on. So the prayer app hits us four times a day, right?
Four times a day?
And I'm like... Four times. I'm praying all the time. I was like, you know what? I'm not legit praying four times a day.
Yeah, no,
because I'm not even hitting all the metrics. So, I mean, maybe if I pray in between the things, maybe. But I mean, so there's something to be said, I think, about you know, setting a rule of life and like doing this kind of thing where it's like, you know, systematically saying, I'm going to take four times a day to pray.
Yeah.
And where I think I'm so pious, well, I'm just praying all the time. Well, not at 7 noon. 6 and 9 I am.
Those are the times I'm like, oh man, I probably should be, but I'm not.
Yep.
This is when I told my phone would be convenient.
Yep.
Hardly ever is.
But I think I've noticed that even with like dry spells or like slumps, like even just saying, I'm going to wake up and be quiet and still and let like and show up and pray and maybe read a verse or something like that and just keep showing up even when it's hard to show up, you know. But the next one's on Andrew.
Do it, Andrew.
All right. So we're talking about, I'm guessing it's Benedictine monks.
Yes.
That make these three vows.
Yes.
Those are stability, fidelity to the monastic way of life, and obedience. Now, we are not calling our listeners to that.
We are not.
We adhere to such vows. But what this is saying is that the promises of poverty and chastity are implied in the Benedictine way. Stability, fidelity, and obedience receive primary attention in the rule, perhaps because of their close relationship with community lifestyle.
Yeah. Yes. No, because we're not calling anyone to become a Benedictine monk or anything like that. But we want to make sure that you guys know that the rule of life started in Saint Benedict. And he started, and he was the one that started writing about it, and practicing it, and showing others how to do it. And I think stability, fidelity, and obedience are primary to a normal walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just historically, the monks came about because they didn't see any sort of devotion to God in the everyday life, and so they were originally the people that wanted to set themselves apart for the work of the Lord. And a lot of the times, the reason why we have a preserved Bible is because they were often scribes. And so we don't want to, you know, bag.
Monks were?
Yeah. So we don't want to bag on monks all the time and say, they were awful. But yeah, I mean, towards the end, it got really into.
Towards the end, they still exist.
Yeah, but.
They're not as.
Yeah, like before the Reformation, when they were like in their heyday.
I got you.
You know, they were like, let's do things like not eat for 5 days and, you know. Yeah. Well, like Martin Luther talks about, he's like, if anyone could have made it to heaven by monkery, I was that guy.
Yeah.
You know,
we watched that in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah. I still need to finish that.
Yeah. It's a pretty good movie. Yep. But I think it was St. John Chrysostom, which I can't remember. It was a very, very long extended period of fasting, but it was to the point where it messed his body up permanently.
Really?
So, yeah. So, because.
Like, in what way? I guess it probably doesn't matter.
Well, he was fasting against the oppression of the kingdom, like the English kingdom, or the English church or whatever, because they were oppressing the poor.
A lot of monks did that. They, you know, so Colossians talks about asceticism, It's the idea of overtly harming your body for the sake of your faith.
Yeah.
And it's not,
yeah,
not necessary.
And he paid throughout his life, yeah, with that. I'm not saying you shouldn't fast, because I think you should fast. I think there's a point in time where we, right, should abstain from some sort of food to meet with God and to, mm-hmm, trust in God and pray and to push our bodies to, mm-hmm, the point. And it says we should in the Word. But after that, it was so Dallas Willard says, our most serious failure today is the inability to provide effective practical guidance as to how to live the life of Jesus. And I believe that it is due to this very real loss of biblical realism in our lives, or for our lives.
What do you think he means by biblical realism?
I think it's just, I think it's like living the word out and the gospel out, like in reality to like where we are.
So the opposite of be a Christian on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Mm. Like it's an everyday process. And I think if we can see in this time, like we're trying to, like there's a big push to find your identity. And I think how Dallas Willard points to it is that you find your purpose and your, like your calling in God, mm, for your everyday life, whether you are a manager at a trucking company or work at Hobby Lobby or at a college or drive a truck.
Work at a university.
Same thing.
I drive a bus.
You drive a bus?
I drive a
bus. Somebody's wife at this table thought that's what I did for a living.
Brittany.
The name's the smarter of the two of it.
Yeah, I think it shows that it's not about what standard you're like or what like stage you're on.
Yeah.
It's about just living with God and being in that. So what is a rule of life? We're defining it. So this next chunk is going to be more of a almost, what would you say, lecture-esque and defining.
Don't say that, dude. Time. I would literally never listen if you told me lecture.
I don't know. That's what I want to prepare. It's not as like
nuts
like,
and bolts.
How about a moratorium?
Yeah,
let's we'll go with the that. Right word. That's
a graveyard. We're going into the graveyard. We're going to the underbelly of the library.
See,
ooh. The guts.
The guts.
Yeah, I'd listen. Yeah. I'll listen now.
Guts, nuts, pink belly.
Yes.
I'm listening belly, now.
Like Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Ed, Edd n Eddy. It's on HBO Max.
I've never felt
what it. So hey, what is. Hey, it is.
I love that show. You don't. That's I've
never.
Got.
I've never
find out something.
I don't think you'd enjoy it at all.
We're usually the old.
That's true.
Now you're the old.
How does it feel?
It feel
old, man.
Now I'm a baby.
This is true.
All right. So, what is a rule of life? Our English word rule is derived from the Latin regula, meaning a straight piece of wood or a ruler, and by extension, a pattern, model, or example. Esther DeWall, a longtime student of the Mosaic spirituality, writes that regula, a feminine noun, carries gentle connotations. It's a signpost, a railing, something that gives me support as I move forward in my search for God. So a rule of life then serves as a gentle guide that keeps you trained toward God. Any thoughts on that?
I like that it's a feminine.
It's interesting.
Yeah. A feminine noun. That's where it is. Okay. That's interesting. Is it because it's softer and more gentle?
Yes.
Is that why it's feminine?
Yeah, probably.
No.
Well, I don't know. No. It's probably just languages.
Well, then tell me what it is.
He was going to do it.
I was going to say, like, every noun had a gender in languages. Yeah. Like
we're that. One of the few languages that doesn't have, like, yeah, that doesn't genderify our.
Well, because think of Spanish.
Yeah, you got O's and A's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes reading it easier because you know which verbs go with which nouns. It's actually, English is actually a hard language for that.
Yeah.
In class four language or something like that. Like we're one of the hard ones.
Yeah, we're like Klingon, right? World.
Way up there, yes.
Way up in there.
Hey, it's a real language.
Darth Rocky. At this point.
Andrew's going to start speaking Klingon over here.
My dad could.
I know, I met him.
I could not. I never learned it.
That's not genetic?
No.
That's not genetic.
Neither was his braided ponytail.
Oh my gosh. Dude, that was painful to see.
Some hair.
That was, dude.
My dad was weird. That is genetic.
That doesn't go away.
I got that from him. I am weird.
That's okay.
Back to the thing.
If you weren't weird, I'd be
boring.
What's going on here?
But back to the thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
I have a thought and I'm about to lose it.
Go.
So I need to share it before I forget it.
Speak it.
The gentle guide, my first thought, like what just like word association popped into my head was like a parent with their kid on a bike kind of thing.
You
can't, you know, the parent's not going to let go and let the kid fall. Mm. but they're also not steering the bike kind of a thing. I don't know if that's just kind of where my head went to first.
I think I get that. I thought about that the straight piece of wood reminds me of the straight path in some senses that we're going down.
Like
straight.
Biblically?
Yeah, okay. Biblically. It reminds me of the straight, like taking the straight path and narrow paths, which is good. Which I think obviously that's coinciding.
Well, when I read a railing, my thought was like a railroad. And you think about the tracks and how the train is on the tracks. The train moves. The train is powered by the engine, but its direction, its purpose, its destination is determined by the rails where it's going. And so I think a good rule is something that it's the non-negotiable. So we're powering it. We're pursuing it. We're doing it. But the rule is meant to be the railing or the rails or the direction that our path goes.
Yeah. I like that.
I think it shows that we also have to play it. We play a part in how our walk goes.
Right.
You know, it's not all on us and it's not necessarily all on God. I think it's a beautiful participatory relationship where we're just following where he leads, but we're putting the work in as well by grace and all that.
It's like that whole God sovereignty meeting with like our own responsibility for our behavior. Kind of thing that like we cannot logically make sense of because it's beyond us.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that having a rule again, just like if you, in the analogy of a railing, if you're on the wrong tracks, it doesn't matter how fast you're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's two sides of it. We have to be pursuing the right things. We have to be on the right track. We have to have the right rule, which is why I think this topic is so important. Because unlike salvation, sanctification is a synergistic event. And that might be a hot take, but that's my take, and I'm going to have it. I believe that salvation is monergistic, meaning God, one, reaches down and saves us. Mm-hmm. He puts us in right standing by the grace that he gives through his mercy. And then this act of becoming more like Christ, as Philippians 2:12 says, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure. So there is the scriptural reference that you're talking about, this mysterious blending of work out your salvation, create a rule of life, you know, get on a path of pursuing God. Why? Because God is working in you to do his will. And so it's a mystery. It's both. We don't self-discipline ourselves to be more like Christ, but we also don't just let go and let God. And which is why a rule of life, especially in sanctification, is super important.
I'd agree. As I think you see this side effects of like maybe more legalistic standpoint where of it, like I would say half, like 50-50, either stay on it, they're really pious or pious, I think is what it's worth, and then the other side is fall off and deconstruct and totally abandon the faith. And then you look at the other side where you're just kind of free flow and you're just doing whatever, not really having a set foundation, and then you it's easy to sway and get into different kind of ideologies that aren't biblical at all. But I always think those are always 50-50.
I think that both sides of that spectrum end with the same results. It's just different how you get there.
Yeah.
Because when you just let go completely and don't put any effort in, you still either end up being like, oh, I'm super spiritual because I don't even have to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
Or it just falls apart.
Yeah.
But I think you get there less suddenly than in a legalistic life. So it kind of sneaks up on you and it's all of a sudden... You've changed a little every day until you got to a place you don't recognize your faith anymore.
Like the atomic habits.
Mm-hmm.
You start adopting certain things that are more like freeing, or they feel like they're being more, what would you call it? It feels like they're being more generous to others, like ideologies that are more generous to like loving others, which we should. But at the same time, where are we finding a true definition of love for others? It's from the Bible.
Right. We have a bit of mind. I think when we talk about this topic of like setting a rule of life, people think, well, like, so are you talking about legalism? Are you talking about like rule? Like, what is this rule of life? And I think the problem is like if you just come in and say, well, any sort of system is legalism, and I'm going to punt this away. Like that is a recipe for deconstruction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you work at and you care about the things that you care about.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to have a good marriage, nobody says you shouldn't work on that.
Yeah.
If you want to have a good job, no one says you shouldn't work hard. But it's like, right. Well, I want to be nearer to God. Well, you just got to let that happen through the warm and fuzzies. That's just not how the rest of life works. Why would this be that that way?
Because I always wonder, it's like if we're always going for the feeling, then what happens when that feeling doesn't get met?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we were just open with every 12 people that every 12 person that listens.
Tens of people.
Brandon and I have been talking recently and we both feel very dry.
Yeah.
Sorry to throw your dirty laundry out, but just,
you know what?
I still have a basket full of dirty laundry at home.
Mine's clean. I just have to finish it after this podcast. but no, we both said I'm feeling pretty dry lately, and it's just, I mean, with being sick for me, it's just been, it feels like a really easy excuse to be like, it's dry, it's fine, I don't really have to do anything because I am sick, which is the worst stinking excuse ever. But like, if it were all up to feelings, like, dude, I'd be done.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because I mean, it's sad, but it's like the first thing that pops into my head when I'm feeling terrible is not praying or running to scripture to like be like encouraged.
Yeah.
It's more like I'm just going to sit here and feel like I'm going to die for a while.
Yeah.
And just sit and like be in self-pity. Mm-hmm. And
Before you go on.
Yes.
You sent me a verse the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that verse hit hard. If it felt good.
You're not comfortable with not being included on all of your text messages.
I'm sorry.
FOMO.
It was Psalm 107:9. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Mm. In the moment of, like, we had literally just talked about being dry that day. And with that verse, it was just like, it doesn't matter how dry I feel. This verse is still so true.
Yeah.
Regardless of how I feel. Yeah, that was the most uplifting thing at that point in my day.
I can't remember because I had left my Bible just out open before, like the night before.
Yeah.
And I walked when I was getting ready to go to work and everything, I walked over to it. And that's where I put it right by where I take all my vitamins. So I started taking my vitamins and looked down. And I was like, okay, I'll read a little bit. And then that verse came out. I'm like,
all right.
Whoa.
All right, I guess.
Like, all right.
That's a good one.
I was like, I'm like, the rest of the chapter just faded away. And I was like, that's the verse I needed to, I needed to hear. Like, God presented to me. It was awesome. But to finish out this definition of rule of life, so continuing on, it says, in this way, a rule of life is different than the goals, intentions, or resolutions we tend to set for ourselves. Those methods are task-based and measurable. And they're often focused on what we do. A rule of life, on the other hand, helps you become. So that's kind of like the abiding in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you become. And it says it is comprised of several simple statements that guide the posture of your life and the living of your days. It is not lived perfectly, but can be lived faithfully while fostering within you an integrated and embodied life of faith.
So comprised, not compromised.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Edit.
Then it's fine.
What I love about all of the rule of life stuff that you sent us is that it's not about making checklists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really about like the rhythm of your life and the tone of your life is spiritually centered.
Yes.
So it's not about reading your Bible every day, though that's a good thing. It's more of creating a habit and a rhythm of your life where you've made space for it. I can tell you for like myself, like I'm a Bible reading nut. Like I don't miss reading my Bible a day. End of discussion. But that's not a checklist anymore. To me, that's a rhythm or a habit of, it's just like, I don't feel right until I do it.
Sure.
And so to me that's just the idea of the rule of life is not like, we're not boiling this down to checklists and saying you need to have five things, though those are good. But the idea is like the rhythm of your life is, that is, one, is it in tune to doing the things that cause us to abide? That's what I've liked about all the stuff you've sent us.
Yeah.
This is definitely your baby. I never heard any of this stuff before.
I would definitely agree with that.
No, like I liked the part where it says it helps you become.
Yeah.
You know, I think, it's crazy how like all this rule of life stuff has dramatically changed how I think of like, say, what I put into my body, what I do, what I think of, what I focus on more or less with, like intentionally, like getting rid of things on my phone that are just going to like make me scroll or doom scroll. I think that's a newer definition.
Doom scroll.
Yeah. Like you just start scrolling and then you look at it 2 hours.
And you're not scrolling. Any happier or
happier. You're looking like, crap, I could have done. I've always heard the analogy of like, if you really want to know where your time's going, like just check the screen time.
Mm. The original is check your bank account. But
that too. But now it's screen time.
Screen time. Do my screen time. Bad.
That report used to show up at 9:15 on a Sunday morning on my phone. I was like, this is the worst. I'm walking into church. I feel bad about myself.
That's what mine gets there.
Do you still get it? Yeah. You can turn that off. I'll show you.
Yeah, mine's... No, no. I leave it on purpose. Mine is literally during when you're doing announcements in the morning.
Oh, nice.
That's when mine comes on, and I was just like... It's like well, but I was down 34% this week. Let's go.
That's 20%. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. For me, it's because I was very busy at work.
Yeah. You know...
Mine was because I'm not laying in bed sick.
You know, the other thing that I think the rule of life helps with is... to be intentional with your time. I think that's what you're talking about.
Because
we were joking earlier about the prayer app.
Yeah.
And about how like it's four times a day. And I think I'm so pious that I'm praying more than four times.
Yeah.
But is it like to think about, you're talking about that 1 degree, that first quote about how an airplane, if it's off 1 degree, it can end up in a different town. It's like, if we're not ruthlessly trying to fill our time with good things, we will naturally fill them with bad things.
It's true.
And all of a sudden we'll look back on our month and be like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a lot more gracious with myself when I think about my time management than actually exists.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think I'm really getting stuff done. And then you look back and like, no, man, there's so much stuff flowing through the cracks.
Right.
Yeah. I've adopted things. Well, I've downloaded things onto my phone like, to help with habit, like watching what habits I'm doing and putting it all together of like habit stacking. I'm like, I'm gonna do this, 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 and this when I wake up or whatever. Or like throughout the day, like I have one, like I have a water one. I have one
I
for breathing because there's times I
one like, for breathing.
Yeah. Like for like kind
so
of like, like meditate.
Oh, not like breathing. Don't forget to breathe.
Yeah.
In and out, in and out.
Yeah, not like that. Cause I like
oxygen is proven to keep you alive.
Cause I found to like do like controlled.
Yeah.
I found to do like controlled breathing. Has helped me at least with my anxiousness or like my busy mind. I've been putting that into my rule.
What kind of rule would you write for being not easily distracted? That's something I want to think about. Cause like when I think about going to work or like anywhere, it's like if I sit down to do something at work and then all of a sudden an email pops up and like it derails all like thought that I've had. And then it could be the same thing if I'm reading my Bible and it's a text message or whatever, but like being intentional about that kind of stuff.
So for email, I mean, do you know what Inbox Zero is?
Yeah, I live by it.
Do you?
Like, I never have emails in my inbox.
Okay, no, there's a real Inbox Zero.
Oh, well, yeah, it's called me at the end of the day.
No. Okay, so Inbox Zero. So if it's important, you read it right away, you do it. Mm-hmm. If it's something you need to get done, you snooze it until it's time you think you can. And if it's junk, just archive it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're not, it's always empty, but you're doing the important things that you're supposed to be doing. So you're not distracted by reading an email and that's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Text messages, put your phone away.
I like it.
Yeah. I have like a iPhone settings. There's like a mindfulness setting and mine shuts off like an hour a day, like when I get home. So then I don't receive anything. And there was one, what was it? Oh, John Mark Comer. He was saying that he shuts his phone off at night, puts it on the other side of the room. He wakes up to an analog alarm clock.
Yeah.
He doesn't go to his phone until like 9 o'clock in the morning. Hmm. If he gets up at say 7, he has like 2 hours before he even looks at his phone. But I think it's if you get up because Brett, you get up at like what 4:30?
Sure.
Yeah, or whatever you get up early.
4 a.m.
Yeah. But instead of it might be a different situation since you do like manage, so it might be a different situation.
Yeah.
But maybe if it's like a half hour, just don't pick your phone up or look at it. I think I think starting the day out not looking at your phone is like a perfect start because that's if we start and we wake up and we start scrolling, then we're going to be set. We're going to see things that are going to upset us or throw us off. And we're not starting our time through the day. We're not starting our time out with God.
Right.
We're starting our time out with infinity and from our pocket.
Yeah. So Becca and I have, it's a household rule. No electronics are allowed in the bathrooms. And so the first thing I do is get up and I get ready for the day. So I don't even I turn off my alarm and I just go immediately to the bathroom because I can't take it with me anyway. And so it allows me that time to just, that's my time to pray. That is my time. That's my time with God is just me and him. Yeah, it's in the bathroom. It's weird. I don't care. But that's the time I get intentionally with him by myself.
Yeah.
So
he's seen it all anyway. So like. Can't hide anything from them.
Checks out.
Exactly.
Checks out.
He's not weird about it.
No,
he's
not like.
I mean, I never thought about that way.
That's good. That's a good way. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Don't take your phone in the bathroom. It's a game changer. It's weird. You like actually have to use your brain and think, something I don't do very often.
I worked at a call center where they said, please leave your phone at your desk when you go on restroom breaks. And it was because people would like take a restroom break and be like half an hour later, they'd come rushing back. I'm sorry.
I think what I've tried to do is I'll wake up, like my alarm will go off, then I'll lay in bed. Oh. And when I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up and I sit and I breathe and I walk. And then I get up and I just go get ready. And I try to keep my phone on my end table.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I go to work, I'll grab it then. But yep. I'm not getting text messages at like six.
The only people who text me at 6 a.m. are you guys. And I am not responding that early.
Yeah. But yeah,
I'm not responding at
sometimes night. I respond to it just to flex. You texted me at 9:30. Here's a 4:30 text, bro. Because I wasn't up at 9:30. You ain't up at 4:30.
That is definitely true.
Yeah. But no, so why should we create a rule of life? And this is, most of us do not belong to communities, monastic or otherwise. That gives us a rule to follow. But all communities and families share values and expectations, whether or not they are clearly articulated. And these values and expectations form us, often without our awareness. By crafting a rule of life, we become intentional about the forces and dynamics that shape who we are becoming. This is a quote from the Sacred Ordinary Day, which you have a website, so you should even check that. But I think at that last sentence, by crafting a rule of life, we become intentional about the forces and dynamics that shape who we are becoming. So I think that's very profound, because that's just reiterating that whatever you're putting in front of your life and whatever intentional or unintentional expectations you have on yourself and say on your family and your friendships, it's going to shape who you are and who you're going to become.
Like the shaping is happening anyway. Yeah. Have some input in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
From Bridgetown, John Mark Comer.
Maybe you can
come on.
JMC.
Maybe you can come on sometime. Have you done with
John Mark Comer? We know you're listening. Get on our podcast.
Yeah. After you've done with sabbatical.
He's definitely listening.
That after he's done with sabbatical or whatever, but
nerd,
he was saying that the
John or Brandon,
no,
John,
okay,
but sabbatical lights.
But he was saying that something is forming us,
yep.
Whether it's God and the Word or it's the world and the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being formed by something, and it's like, what are you going to choose to be formed by?
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk." Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the will of the Lord is to be made more into the image of Christ. That is the will for all of our lives, right? So we should take care to walk in a wise way and using our time right, because the days are evil.
Yes.
Meaning they will get away from you, and all of a sudden it'll be a year and you'll be like, I didn't advance in any way that I want to do spiritually. Because we're in a pandemic. Pick an excuse, man. It just doesn't matter. I mean,
what's a pandemic?
Oh, that's that board game. I like it. It's fun.
Not a fun video game.
It was like 40.
More fun than, I know you like the video. Anyway.
I have about 45 inappropriate things about to say about a pandemic.
I don't want to.
Nope.
Get a loaded gun.
Oh, gosh. Nope. Yep. Can't go there.
Well, yeah. Well, you had something to add on. What are you going to add?
Maybe, but ADHD brained out. And I don't know what it was.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But no, we want to, it's all about who are we becoming. What helps us to become, what helps us to be formed. So how do we get started forming a rule of life?
I don't know, Brandon, tell us,
Brandon.
We will. Keep that. But anyways.
Absolutely, I am.
So allow your rule to develop slowly over time. So don't rush into getting 15 different things at once.
Yeah.
Start off with one or two.
One or two.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a chapter of my Bible a day. Like, show up, and it'll eventually become more and more and more. Develop that to your characteristics and your personality. Don't try to do what Brett's doing or what Bryce's doing or Andrew's doing. Like, say, God, what should I do?
Yeah, I mean, my day looks different than all of yours.
Yes.
I thought you were calling Brett out.
I thought you were too. I was like, no, I was like, what am I doing?
You suck.
Don't be like Brett. He suck. Bro, do you even Bible?
That says, listen for God and realize that the unique expression of Christ in you, your family, and your church will look different from the expression of Christ in others. It can be helpful to remember that the kingdom is built by the whole of the church body. So you need to only seek to be faithful, to be a faithful hand or foot. So ask God how to live your part faithfully. Consider inviting others, which that's what we're doing, into the exercise with you, such as a spouse, a spiritual director, or members of your community. Regard your rule as a living document, something you can review and adjust as you live it out. Jen Giles Kemper from Sacred Ordinary Days. So finding this to me is a gem. Like this has been a game changer for me. Like I said, it's taken me a while to kind of like come to grips. Like, okay, I think I need to do something like this for my life. Because I looked back in my life with God and like where I started where I am now. And I feel like there's times I'm like, I feel like I've just been going on a hamster wheel. I haven't really gotten any better. I haven't really necessarily gotten worse. I've just kind of been in this, I was kind of in this plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want to be deeper with God. I want to know him more. Like, I want to live it more. And I've stumbled upon this. And so I was like, okay, I'll contemplate it. I'll keep researching into it and like studying it and just asking God what he thinks of it and like what should be good for me. And I was like, this is what I want. This is what would help guide me into that. So, yeah.
And you're very persuasive. And here we are.
Well, I just see the benefits and how rich and like beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's pointing you to be like Jesus, to do what he did,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're supposed to do. Which I don't know. It just sparked something in my soul to fully just embrace who he is,
mm-hmm.
who he wants, like what he wants me to do in this whole, like in this small sliver of life that I have. I think this has been this is a good thing. I think I'm not going to say it's good for everybody to adopt, but I would say consider it.
I would say that it's good to be intentional about growing near to the Lord. I think we could say that.
Yeah.
To everybody, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you don't want to do a rule of life, but you better be doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a rule of life is just frankly the easiest thing I've ever done, which is the fact that I'm saying that and the fact that I haven't gotten back on it since being sick is really sad, but
it adjusts.
Yeah. But it is one of the easiest things that has gotten me to be in the Word and to actually pray, which is crazy.
I think the problem with most systems is that it all boils down to a checklist, and we get to this point where it's like, well, now I'm not hitting the checklist, so now I'm a slug. But about this program is like, hey, this is grace-centered, it's spirit-filled, it's meant to be, you know, we are going to stumble, we are going to struggle, our life is going to change, our seasons are going to change, we're going to have babies, we're going to get sick, we're going to, all these things. So my life today doesn't look anything like it looked, I mean, 10 years ago, I had no kids, right? I mean, now I have 4 kids, right? So it's like, my life is different. Your lives are different. And so, you know, but I think if we take seriously the desire that we have to be sanctified, to be made more like Christ, which is what we're called, all of us as Christians are called to do, you know, having this kind of program where it says, here's the freedom to, you got to change it sometimes because your life has changed. You take a new job, you do something. I mean, what I like about this program and what we're talking about here and how we're looking at sanctification is this has to be done. It's something that we're commanded to do. It's something that's a joy to do. But we often don't do it because our life changes and then we think, well, we're already too far out of it. We should just stop. But this is like, hey, your life ebbs and flows. This thing should ebb and flow with it. So maybe you're a night person. So getting up at 4:30 in the morning to read your Bible sounds terrible.
Well, yeah, it does.
I don't want to read in my Bible at 11:30 at night, but maybe you do, right? So it's like, that's the kind of stuff we got to think about.
Can't I do it at 6:45?
You can do whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
Who cares?
Because it's not a checklist.
No, exactly right. Exactly right.
What? Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Well, shit, it's finding this, I've noticed there's more people coming to the conclusion, like probably more spiritual leaders that are coming to the conclusion. They're like, we need something to have a foundation with, to help with guiding and like discipleship for congregants and all that stuff. But we need that for ourselves as well. Like we need to be guided because we obviously make a mess of things if we just try to do it on our own. So we need some guidance. And there's been people that have been long dead that have an idea of how to do something that we can look toward. Mm-hmm.
We'll get to this in a future episode, but like, what are some of the things you can add to your rule of life? But I think there's a camp, and I'm in the camp, like which talks about the spiritual disciplines. Like there are things that the Bible tells us we should be doing, things like Bible reading, things like prayer, fasting, meditating, like these are all commands or things that we should do. So the other thing we should probably say at this point is, though the rule of life is super flexible and it's meant to give you grace and life, we don't want to forget that there are tangible things that we need to do to grow. right? We can't not do these things. This is just a system that says, hey, there's grace for when you're sick. There's grace when your life changes, when your schedules are different, when the seasons are different. And so we want to try to marry these two ideas where it's like, we are called in 1 Thessalonians to say, this is God's will for you, your sanctification. Yes. That is God's will for you to become more like Christ. And right. We have these commands of scripture that say, these are the things that cause you to be sanctified. No Bible, no sanctification, no prayer, no sanctification, no fellow. I mean, they're tangible things.
Yeah.
So what we need is not more checklists, more, you know, discipline, self-discipline, more shame. But what we need is this type of life-giving thing. It says we need to create systems that are an ebb and flow that bring us into the presence of the Lord and draw us near to him and cause us to be sanctified, but not at the expense of the YouVersion Bible app. I'm 7 days behind with Bible reading and it's telling me, and I feel like a slug.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. Let's just quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost my streak.
I'd say on the second part that we'll record at a later date, just to look forward to like what these practices are. So we're talking about practicing the way of Jesus, like doing the things that he did. So it would be silence and solitude. It seemed that he would always retreat to go be with the Father in prayer. So it was intentional to go to, or like the eremos, the lonely place. Scripture, prayer, fasting, simplicity, living in community, and Sabbath. I think the big ones that I found, we don't have to go into a big talk on this, but I know the ones I found to be the most effective, they're newer ideas, but obviously they're in scripture and I never saw them, but it was silence and solitude, simplicity for sure. And then, Sabbath. Cause I think when we think of Sabbath, we just think Sunday is church day. We don't think about actually having a day for like intentional rest where we don't do much.
Right.
Especially now in the culture that we live in with like hustle and hurry. I think Dallas Willard said it well, or he said, we must ruthless eliminate hurry to have us like to be successful, quotes, in our journey with God. Because if we're constantly going and we have everything going in our minds, when are we going to slow down and like be intentional and be with Jesus in our alone time?
Right.
And our eremos, go without.
The other sneaky thing about Sabbath thing that people don't realize is that it's an act of faith to believe that you can work 6 days and rest on seven and God's got it handled instead of you having to work all 7 days. Because if it's up to me, people have different views on Sabbath and that's cool. Like it's no big deal, but the idea of like, I have to work every day and get everything done because it's up to me is a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yep. Andrew, read us some Dallas Willard.
I got a Dallas Willard.
That's a real
from
gentle
the spirit touch. Of the disciplines, understanding how God changes lives.
That's a book, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool.
It's great. It's a great book.
All right, yeah. Dallas Willard saying, multitudes are now turning to Christ in all parts of the world. How unbearably tragic it would be, though, if the millions of Asia, South America, and Africa were led to believe that the best we can hope for from the way of Christ is the level of Christianity visible in Europe and America today, a level that has left us tottering on the edge of world destruction. The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. They've done the best they could, no doubt, but this is an age for spiritual heroes, a time for men and women to be heroic in faith and in spiritual character and power. The greatest danger to the Christian church today is that of pitching its message too low.
That's pretty good.
Pretty heavy.
Oof.
It's pretty accurate.
It's like, I can't imagine being a Christian in like a different country looking at the United States.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. What are they doing over there?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I think that's the beauty of someone like Dallas Willard, who's a philosopher and a full-blown Christian, like a real Christian. So you get the best of both of these. I think it's something that you can like you find like the best of both worlds with philosophers being Christians, because they have this big thought process and thoughts, but it's filtered with Jesus inside of it, which is it's amazing.
Yeah,
I would even go the other way to say like they think Christian thoughts, but like don't miss the nuance.
Yeah.
They don't miss the critical thinking that I think a lot of times the church has abandoned in America, at least. Like, I don't know. It just seems like there's no, what do I say? There's just, everyone is looking for the fastest, easiest answer, which means lining yourself up with a group that already exists and just be like, yeah, okay, I believe what they do.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do.
It's easy and it's lazy.
Yeah.
And it does not require thought.
Yeah.
And so we're like all about that.
Yeah.
And it comes down to buzzwords. Mm-hmm. If you use these words, you're in this camp.
Yes.
Oh, if you use those words, you're in that camp.
Yes.
And if you read these kinds of books, you're in that camp. And there's just no freedom of thought anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no freedom of nuance.
I think that's the side effect that we've come to see when we've been okay with like having dividing lines. You know what I mean? I think that's what we've come to see. We've chose our camps and we said the other one's bad.
Yeah. But
for example, I'm in a different camp than Dave Ryder. Shout out Dave Ryder.
Shout out Dave Ryder.
Dave Ryder.
Oh, you just had to get it in. You had to.
He's going to drop his band. I'm going to drop Dave Ryder.
Yeah. Speaking of, Dave Ryder left us a
he did
pretty dope message, which we'll have to
yes,
listen to and talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Once we fill that mailbag, we'll
like
answer the question.
Voice message?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
On Anchor.
That's yeah. crazy world we live in.
People are listening awesome. And doing what we're saying.
Yeah.
Brave new world.
Yeah.
This is what we've come to see.
Mm-hmm. What I like about this Dallas Willard quote is like, on top of being a philosopher and a Christian, he also understands where the power of world change comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not like, because he says here, it's not left up to politicians, diplomats, and business leaders, yeah. right? Because those guys don't, I mean, now I'm not saying you can't be a diplomat, politician, or business leader and be a Christian, but what I'm saying is the power of the message is not in your politics, in your mm-hmm. diplomatic moves or in your business dealings. It's the power. Yeah. It's the message of the gospel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what changes lives. That's what changes the world.
Yeah.
You know, that's your kingdom come. That's your king. That's Jesus's yeah. kingdom coming is that it's not, well, we're going to build more McDonald's in China so that they know that America is good. And then we can tell them the gospel. I mean, sure that might work, but like the gospel needs to be there.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. Those are the groups of people listed as like who, in general, people look to change the world are diplomats, politicians, business leaders.
Yeah.
Those are literally a list of people that are appointed to the positions they have in order to do what's best for their company or for their yeah. country.
Or themselves.
Or themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they're going to help make the world a better place by taking care of number one.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because 2 Corinthians 5 says that we're called to be ambassadors.
Yeah.
Not diplomats, not business. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah.
Meaning that we carry... An ambassador is somebody that carries the message to where it needs to go,
yeah.
and they're sent from somebody, right? Yeah. So American ambassadors go to foreign countries to bring the message of America to, I mean, and we take them to the United Nations, right? So for us, we're taking the message of the gospel.
Yeah.
As we go forward in our life and faith, our hearts will expand and we will run the way of God's commandments with unspeakable sweetness of love. It's the rule of Benedict, Prologue 49. Colossians 3, 2, and 4, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Boom. Good stuff.
So good.
Yeah. I do like the part where it's like when we move forward in life and faith, our hearts expand. So that means that we become more. Then we run the way of God's commandments. So we just take the commandments and that becomes our lives.
Mm. It's like we've been saying this whole time. We're being formed whether we are adding input or not.
Yeah,
that's. I mean,
yes.
We set our minds on things above and not the earth. And we die to ourselves and we're hidden in Christ. So good stuff.
Well, I think also that the idea of like running towards God's commandments, running towards living and walking in a manner worthy. I think to the outside world, that is the most confusing part of our faith.
Yeah,
it's like why would you run towards being told what to do? Why would you be run towards commandments? And I think. Yeah, like a text like, you know, Psalm 34 says, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's this level of when we are free to follow Christ and we become a servant to Christ, like that's actual true freedom.
Yeah.
And I think people don't understand that because they think, well, I'm free now. Well, you're not. You're a slave to sin.
Yeah.
Like we're slaves to the world
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah, is the craziest thing.
Yeah. Jesus describes all the things that the world says are freedom as slavery.
Right.
Right.
This is odd. It's like no, but people come back and say no. The Bible is slavery. Like it's holding me down. It's not letting me be who I want to be.
Not who I was created yeah. to be.
But it's like
the way I was made.
But it's like. All those ideologies are making you a slave to mm-hmm. the things of the world and the sin.
Yeah.
Which is the worst kind of thing to be enslaved to.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to admit it, but like as the human race, we are a slave to something. Like that is, yeah. we're just built
yeah.
to worship. We're built to yeah. serve.
Right.
And when we think we're free, we're serving the world and the devil and all of his schemes. And when we're truly free, as Galatians 5 would say, we are free. We're free to be, as Paul calls himself, I'm a slave to Christ.
Yeah.
Because Paul knew, like, you're going to be a slave to one or the other. It's a lot more free to be a slave of Christ.
Yeah. So I think that's one of, like, three things that are trying to, one, steal our peace and all that is the flesh, the world, and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
not in that order, but those are the three things that are always coming at us that we have to be on guard with. Live no lies, John Mark Comer.
I thought that was Dave Ryder.
Shout out Dave Ryder two times in a row.
Boom.
Got him.
Got him.
Now, any final thoughts before we wrap her up? On the next episode, we're going to hit on the practices.
The how-tos. Which is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It'll be a checklist of things to do.
Checklist. Yeah. We're going to undo everything in episode two we did so hard in episode one.
These are the next things of practicing the ways of Jesus. There's seven core practices. Mm-hmm. These are all on practicingtheway.org, or you can go to thesacredordinarydays.com. You can find all these things. This is where I find everything that I've found.
We'll link all this in the description below.
Yes, we will. It's something to contemplate for you as a listener. And for us, we've been contemplating it and putting it into practice and even getting off. There's still that, I think in my spirit, it's like, no, I want it back. Like, I want to keep going with this. I want to keep running back, even if it's just smaller doses and not as vast. Because I always try to do too much at once. Mm-hmm. I get burnt out and I'm finding if I just do a couple things and just get them set in stone, keep going with it, and it'll grow to something else. Something more beautiful. I think that's what having the life of Christ becomes. It's like we become more who we were meant to be with Jesus and one with Jesus, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Are we all good to go? This has been Outsiders Podcast. Tune in to our part two of A Rule of Life coming in a couple of weeks. Look forward to our first episode and our pastor special episode that are coming down the tunnel. Look forward.
Those are going to post first.
No, those will post first.
Those will post
You'll
first.
See them. But it's look forward to more of these pastor interviews. I have found it to be amazing.
It was your grandpa, so that
I know, but it was really good.
It's good.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Go rate us, Apple Podcast. Share us.
Spotify.
Spotify. You can rate us on Spotify. You can send in messages on Anchor. We want to answer them. We're trying to keep a couple just stocked up.
We do have a couple.
We do have a couple.
Two.
Dude, they're fun.
That is technically a couple.
Yeah.
Technically.
That is true. That's true. Thanks for listening. This has been Outsiders Podcast. See you next time.
Bye.